should always start the show with, well, February.
Absolutely.
Let's start the month. Just in case you don't know when this is happening, in case you don't know, today is February 20th. We do that. And last time, we got into this whole big thing about, you know, touring things, and we were going on and on about how all these things that we don't know exist, but kind of exist. And then if you remember, Paul and I kind of left you guys on a cliff there, and we said, hey, you know what? Next month, we're going to talk about this really cool thing that nobody talks about enough, and there's, I don't know, like there's so much information out there.
Yep.
And then Paul and I were kind of like, yeah, nobody reads it, right? It was the truth.
That's true.
Let's be honest.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We thought we would bring in the guru over there, Marco. We're going to introduce him in a second, to basically walk us through it so that I and you guys don't have to read it, because I don't have that kind of patience for that many words. But it's been a while since we've had three people on the show.
Yeah, I think last time we did was Mark Ortega when he talked about Xamarin.
Xamarin.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's how you know when we have a third person here, that's the show where Paul's like, maybe there's someone that actually knows this better than I do.
Much better. Yes, for sure.
I mean, you always hear me. I'm like, no, Paul knows everything, and that's why he's here, and I'm just here for comic relief. But there are times when even Paul, the Paul here, does not know.
Many times, yes.
Oh, stop it, whatever. Point is, let us, or I'll let you introduce Marco as the guest for today.
In my role as a developer solutions technical specialist, I do an awful lot.
Mouthful and a half.
It certainly is. I basically go literally across Canada, and I mean literally in the true sense, to customers across Canada, talking to them about Visual Studio and Azure. And I'm a technical resource, so I talk to architects, I talk to developers, and you know, dev leads and QA managers and QA testers and things of that nature. But I'm never doing it alone. There's actually somebody that usually goes with me, and we're lucky enough here today to have Marco DiVirgilio with us.
I was going to say, it's not me that goes with him. Yeah. This is my home here in the studio.
That's right. So I'll let Marco introduce himself. He's going to bring us through the rest of this.
Thank you,
session.
Paul and JR. So my name is Marco DiVirgilio. I'm a solutions specialist working in tandem with Paul. And my focus is more around licensing and the business side of things from a developer tool and application lifecycle management perspective. So today, I know you've asked me to come in and talk a little bit about MSDN.
Yes.
Would you like me to start?
Yeah, go for it.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah.
Awkward silence.
How do we get this thing going?
Yeah,
absolutely. Let's do it. MSDN, actually, before you get started, so Paul and I always have back in the day, right? So we're going to do a back in the day. When I was back in my previous life in the enterprise world, everyone had an MSDN license. Except, first of all, nobody knew that we had an MSDN license. So that was one of the things that I had to go digging around for. So if you don't know if you have an MSDN license, check with your organization first.
Yeah, definitely.
And then when we actually found out that we did have MSDN licenses, it was kind of like, we had to figure it out as we went. It's kind of like, well, okay, great. Downloads of all the products, great, okay. And then you kind of go looking around there, all of a sudden one screen has your Azure stuff, and then something over here has, and it's kind of like, it's this world that opens up that you kind of just figure it's like, well, whatever. Like, it's just an MSDN subscription. Like, it's just a service. So is that one of those things that you're going to demystify for us today?
Absolutely. My goal is to try and demystify what MSDN is.
Cool.
My intent as well as we go through this is I'm going to try and spoon feed the information in little bits in a very specific order so that as an organization you can understand what MSDN means to you as an org, mm-hmm. and also what MSDN means to you as an individual user.
Cool.
And what the benefits mean to me as an individual user as well as the organization, because there's really two parts to this. And then how that translates into the broader offering that we have from a Visual Studio perspective.
Awesome. Makes so just sense? A reminder for you guys, this is live. So if you have a question that pops in your head as Marco is going through stuff or as you hear us bantering back and forth, by all means, make sure you post it in the chat. If you happen to be watching this on demand afterwards, just post a comment there. One of the three of us will check it and make sure that we get back to you. So that way we make sure that you always have everything that you want to know. And there's so much. We were actually, just before we were going on live, we were talking about I was saying, hey, we got an hour's worth of stuff on MSDN. Mark was like, no, we can talk for days about MSDN. So surely you guys have questions. So just make sure it is live. Put it in the chat, and we'll get you the answers.
Okay, sounds good. So why don't we start with the basics? What is MSDN? MSDN obviously is a lot of things, but it's a whole suite of services. It's a licensing mechanism and a licensing model for organizations. And it's also a benefits subscription for individual users so that they could drive certain capabilities out of the subscription that ideally will help them learn more about what it is that they're doing and ideally be most productive in how they do things on a day-to-day basis in their job. So with MSDN, and JR alluded to this earlier, you have access to software and access to software from a dev, test, or non-production capacity. You also have access to a number of different types of tools that you could use in a production capacity. We refer to the concept of application lifecycle management, ALM.
That's right.
Yeah. And having access to things like Team Foundation Server and our release management tools and a number of other things what we're going to touch on in a little bit as well. You also get access to cloud benefits. So there's a lot of nice benefits that organizations and individuals will get access to with their MSDN subscription, and we're going to jump into some of that now. So I mentioned I'm going to methodically go through some components. So with MSDN, I'm going to start with the concept of access to software for non-production use. So I'm not sure how well you could see the screen behind me, but basically we've got different versions of Visual Studio that are paired up with or grouped with different versions of MSDN. MSDN essentially comes in two flavors, a pro version and a premium version, and then there's this other version, which is almost identical to premium, and it's designed for a specific user set. So I'm going to touch a little bit on that. But most importantly, when it comes to access to software, each of the versions gives you access to different types of software from Microsoft. So if you're looking at a pro version, then you have access to Windows and SQL, which will allow you to set up an infinite number of environments in a non-production capacity. So think of development, testing, QA environments, perhaps even UAT or staging type environments as well. They may qualify for you as well.
So when you say production, is there a specific definition of production that's
there? Is.
There?
Yeah? There is a specific definition of production, so I'm going to get to that in a moment.
Got it.
And we'll provide some clarity, hopefully, around that because it's a common question.
Very good.
The other version of MSDN, which is the premium version, gives you access to absolutely everything from Microsoft, both current, when your subscription's active, then future versions of software that are coming out and all the updates, as well as downgrade rights, so older versions of the products, because sometimes we need to use older versions, of course.
Makes sense.
And then the last one that you see is MSDN platforms, and it's essentially equivalent to MSDN Premium from an access to software perspective. The one item that's not available there is Office.
Okay.
And it does not come with any tools. So there's some users within organizations, so think of like an IT administrator or an IT pro, to use general terms, would potentially want access to all the software so that they could do their jobs.
Yep.
But they may not need access to things like Visual Studio that a developer or an architect or a tester would.
So it provides some flexibility based on the role that you have.
Exactly. Exactly. We've tried to tailor that to the needs of our users. So to your question, instead of trying to define what all these non-production environments are, because we have a tendency to try and, well, does this environment apply? And the easiest way to approach this really is to look at what's the definition of a production environment. And the definition that I have up here is taken from our licensing white paper, so it's easy to find. If you just type in MSDN licensing white paper, you'll be able to find it and download a copy for yourself. But essentially what it's suggesting is that, you know, a production environment is essentially an environment where you have live data or live data streams active in that environment. And obviously for a production environment, you're going to need production level licensing. And everything leading up to production is potentially a good candidate for MSDN because we would potentially consider that non-production.
Very good.
Makes sense?
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit more about some rights that you have as an MSDN subscriber. So when you have access to software and you're downloading the software and you're setting up environments, these could be labs, but any type of dev, test, UAT type of environment, you could basically set up an unlimited number of environments for these and for the users. The caveat is, as long as everyone has an MSDN subscription, you're good.
Good.
Right? Okay. In terms of what types of environments you could set up, they could be physical, they could be virtual. It really doesn't matter. As long as it falls under the description of non-production environments, you're good. If you're sharing environments, and sometimes we see this, where we may have some temporary dev or test environments that are shared with an actual production environment, then in that scenario, the underlying OS is going to need to be a production license.
Of course.
But the dev test components can be MSDN. It's a little tougher to manage when you don't have them fully segregated, but mm-hmm. It is possible. And probably the most important thing of all is an MSDN subscription is a user-based license. So in this context, we're licensing individual users as opposed to the environments.
Okay.
So that's one of the big differences between production.
So every single MSDN subscription has a named user. So
exactly.
I cannot pool it with a team, for example.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah,
there's no concept of concurrent use.
Got it.
In that scenario.
Okay.
So just for a simple image, what I have behind me is a typical environment where you've got production and several non-production environments, like an individual test environment, a UAT environment, and a test environment. And these environments could be licensed with MSDN, mm-hmm. and then production is a volume license.
Of course, yeah. Makes total sense, yeah.
Now let's talk a little bit about some additional benefits that both organizations and individuals get with an MSDN license. One of the nice things that they get is availability of a production level license of Team Foundation Server. And Paul, as you know, Team Foundation Server is really the foundation of our ALM platform.
Yeah.
It supports everything that we do from a dev test and a DevOps perspective, from end to end. So it's really nice to know that as an organization, when we're investing in MSDN as a licensing model, we have the benefit of also getting TFS licenses, both server and CAL, that we could use that to support our organizational processes and all of our application lifecycle requirements.
That's great.
From end to end. So it's really, really nice.
So if I needed to scale TFS out to, say, for example, create a TFS farm because I had a number of different developers and things like that, that's all covered via the MSDN.
Yeah, as long as you have an MSDN, you're going to be granted the use of a TFS CAL. If there are some users that don't have a TFS CAL, such as, say, a business analyst or a project manager, you could then acquire an individual TFS CAL for those users.
Okay. And a CAL is a client access license?
Exactly.
Now, how does this work in the Visual Studio Online world, where last time when Paul and I were going through Visual Studio Online and we were talking about, hey, you get 5 user access licenses and stuff like that. Is there overlap? Does one matter to each other? You use them separately? Or how does that work?
So you would use them separately. So TFS, server, and CAL is an on-premises scenario. The MSDN benefit also gives you access to VSO online.
Okay, cool.
So you have the ability to set up your VSO online account and use TFS in the cloud as well.
And then at that point, you're not limited to the 5 users. You have the same amount of users that you'd have with your TFS CAL.
Exactly. So it could be an enterprise implementation of VSO. And if everyone has an MSDN, they're going to have full access to VSO. There's really no limits to it because you've got full access. So it's a really nice benefit.
Cool. And actually, if you guys missed last month's episode, that's actually where Paul and I were doing a little tour of VSO or Visual Studio Online, whichever. I'll post in the message there the link that you can see it posted online. If you haven't seen that, you can actually see the really cool use of I think you went into a whole thing about how you can actually use both, and some work with VSO Online, some with TFS.
Yep.
So check it out in case you haven't ventured into Visual Studio Online yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, it's absolutely great. And one other additional item that we've added to the suite, which is fairly new and most users may not be familiar with, is we do have release management tools and capabilities that are part of our ALM stack. And the release management tool now is included with most of our Visual Studio offering as well. So without the need for additional licensing. So the fact that you have MSDN with your Visual Studio license, so you'll see up on the screen that basically all versions have access to it with the exception of Visual Studio Pro. So you have access to all of our release management tooling capabilities and no requirement to license the end nodes as well in that scenario. So,
and that change really was nice. January 1st, 2015.
That change was January 1st, so very recent.
Yeah.
So this is just a really high-level highlight of what ALM is, basically all capabilities from a lifecycle management perspective. So being able to support your projects from inception, requirements, all the way through to deploy into production, and have the capability to also track things and monitor things in production so that we have nice feedback loops for updates and maintenance and so forth.
That's excellent.
So we support all of that. And of course, it could be on-premises or in the cloud via VSO, as you guys mentioned.
Yep.
So I won't spend much time on the VSO offering. What's important to note is that with the benefit, you're getting the advanced capabilities of VSO. I think that's the one point I want to make.
Great.
It's a really nice offering that we have. Furthermore, with the advanced offering, you get build services in VSO as well. And if you have the ultimate version, then you have access to cloud-based
Maybe if you don't mind, maybe going back to the VSO slide there. So what, you know, at a very high level, you know, the advanced capabilities. So we see things such as web test case management, the ability to do, for example, if you have Visual Studio Ultimate, you can do load testing and things
Correct.
Like that in the cloud and all those types of things as well. It's a great capability for sure.
Yeah, it is. And as JR mentioned, he's going to share the other session that you've done on VSO.
Yep, already done.
You'll get all the details there, or of course, contact us or ask us some questions. One of the things that I really like about VSO is the extended network of partners that we have.
Yeah.
So when it comes to services and being able to leverage third-party capabilities as part of your ALM cycle within VSO, we've got over 5,000 different components and products that come from our community of partners that are available to you. And they're being used today because we've seen over 1.5 million downloads of these individual products and third-party components as part of VSO. So our community is growing, and the use of this community and the suite is growing as well, which is really nice to see. It's a good validation on our part in terms of where we're going. And of course, we always accept feedback for that as well.
We try to make it as easy as possible for you to make use of those things, right? So we integrate it directly into the IDE, for example, as well as some other ways as well. So it's really
Absolutely.
Great to see.
Absolutely. And for those of you that are not very familiar with the concept of release management, basically it's a process that will help you automate how you're provisioning and promoting environments from one to another. So on the screen we show the concept of going from development to testing to UAT and potentially staging, and being able to manage that process, apply some quality and consistency through that process by automating it, and also including through that automation process the ability to invoke human-based workflows as well, or human-based approval processes. So really nice suite of offering that's fully included with most of these MSDN suites as well.
So if I say, for example, I had a website that I was building and things like that, I could create a workflow in release management, which is included with everything except for Visual Studio Pro.
Correct.
With MSDN. Mm-hmm. And I can define the workflows across all, define all these environments, and then I can automate that. I can basically set up approval processes as a deployment manager and things like that. It's a great tool.
Absolutely. And you can even go one step further and create a workflow that will back out changes as well. So if perhaps you deployed some content that maybe wasn't the right content for a website, you have the ability to use workflows to back that stuff out and then revert back to the previous version. So a lot of really nice capabilities. And the last thing that's there is audit trail capabilities as well.
Very cool.
So being able to see and track and know exactly what happened at every point in time.
So of course, another shameless plug right in here, just because you happen to have mentioned release management. It also happened to be, believe it or not, Breakpoint's first show.
That's
was on release management. And that was actually, Adam was visiting, because I think you were away at the time. And so Adam actually took us through release management, how all of that worked, all that we did. We even did an ad hoc workflow, if I'm not mistaken. It was actually really cool to see just literally how, going back in the day again, where we literally went through pages of like a manual on how to deploy apps into production. Adam did a workflow in like 20 minutes and then hit a button and it just did it with all the verifications, all the approvals, all of that kind of stuff. It was magic, especially considering that it took longer to write said deployment document than it did to install, create a new workflow, execute the workflow, test the workflow, so on and so forth. So in the chat there, I also posted the link to the first episode of Breakpoint, all on release management. So all that stuff that that Marco was talking about, you can check it out there live in demo.
Great. Awesome. And not just Windows deployment, right? We can do to Linux as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely great. And include third-party components as well to do much more.
Fantastic.
Oh, see, that's new. I don't think that was there in that first episode.
Yeah, there's,
so
I don't
Windows
know what it was.
And Linux. Yeah. Windows and Linux, yes. And third-party components in there too.
That's it is right. Growing.
It's definitely evolved since that first episode.
You might
episode.
Have to do another break point.
Yes.
There you go.
Internet time.
There you go.
Nice.
So let's keep moving on and look at some more individual benefits that come with an MSDN subscription. And one of the newest things that we've added fairly recently is we've basically enhanced our online training capabilities. And we enhanced it by partnering with Pluralsight. And I know many of our customers use Pluralsight because it's absolutely a fantastic online training suite of
sure
products.
Is.
And we've included that with the different versions of MSDN. So depending on your version, you're going to have access to certain courses from Pluralsight that we've made available. And it's a very valuable benefit that many of our customers really like. Many of them have asked for it. And hopefully this is something that we can continue for the long term based on feedback from our customers.
Yeah.
And that's a 12-month subscription to Pluralsight, right?
It depends on the subscription.
Yeah.
A lower-end subscription will give you a 3-month subscription.
Got it.
Term. Whereas the higher levels of MSDN will be 12 months.
Very nice.
All right.
Very nice. And then what's cool about that too is that you can use that to augment some of the content that, let's say, you guys have been watching on Microsoft Virtual Academy, right? Because there's a lot of courses that actually complement mm-hmm. each other. I find actually the Pluralsight ones probably go a lot further.
Yeah, they go deep,
in depth.
Deep. Yeah.
So it's actually kind of nice too in that if you're just kind of perusing topics around, happen to see something on Microsoft Virtual Academy that you like, you'll probably get like the 1-day version or the 2-day version on MVA. And then if you do have Pluralsight as part of your MSDN subscription, you can then take whatever you learned in that and then go. I believe some of these courses are like even 5 days long, if I'm not mistaken.
Some
or
of them
40
are.
Hours long.
Yeah,
yeah.
Some of them
yeah.
are varies.
So
yeah.
they work in tandem. So it's actually really cool to be able to leverage that benefit to whatever you need from a, let's say, a work perspective or a professional development perspective to take it that level mm-hmm. further.
Very now, cool. One of the things, I will be sharing the list of courses available because it isn't every course from Pluralsight.
Right.
It's a defined set of courses. So I'll share that with you so that you have an understanding of what courses are potentially available. If you already have an MSDN subscription, then if you go to your own MSDN subscriptions page, you could log in and set up your Pluralsight account through MSDN, and then you'll be able to see what courses are available for you
nice.
Specifically.
There's one about ASP.NET development that I thought was quite interesting, so I still have to take a look at it. I'm looking
yeah,
forward to
I
it.
Won't be taking that one.
And this is why you have the technical guy, and you got the sales guy.
There you go.
Right? Paul and I are geeking out on all of these courses, and Marco's like, mm-hmm, you guys do that. I'm glad that it comes with
it's an enablement.
Benefit.
It's an enablement.
You go.
There you go.
And you have allowed us to be geeky. It's all good.
More power to you. I'll also share with you that you have access to technical support incidents.
Yeah.
I find this to be one of the most underutilized benefits, and when we chat with different organizations and enterprises and they learn more about this, they find how valuable a benefit this could be. And essentially, whenever an individual developer or development team potentially runs into a technical issue in the middle of their project, if they're unable to resolve it on their own or as they're scanning through various forums or the MSDN forums and they can't find any guidance that makes sense, they have the ability to use one of their incidents, call into our hotline and get some technical support specifically for projects that are in development still. So it's not a production level type of support. It's very much geared to project-based support. So the concept of, you know, a developer being able to potentially speak to another developer on the support side, is a nice concept and a nice way to get the specific support that you're really looking for.
Yeah, instead of banging your head against the wall for 2 weeks, you go here, you get a support engineer that knows the stuff inside out, and then you fix or find the problem quickly.
Absolutely. That's great. There's a number of other individual benefits that are available, so access to concierge-type services to maybe help you find content, MSDN magazine, a nice magazine to have access to help keep you up to date to new things, new trends, new technologies, what's coming, that sort of thing. Really nice. But the last thing that I want to touch on is a fantastic benefit that a lot of our users love, and that's access to Microsoft Azure.
Yes.
So with your benefit, what we've done is we've really simplified this benefit to the point that we're giving you a lump sum dollar value credit every single month, and you could use whatever Azure services that you want, and your credits simply get deprecated based on how much you're using it and the service that you're using.
That's fantastic. I'll be honest with you, that's the most favorite component of MSDN that I have. Like, beyond, you know, the ability to have access to all the software, it's that.
Yeah.
You know, the ability to play and provision environments and do some cool stuff with it. This is fantastic. Yeah.
Knowing that you have access to perhaps additional infrastructure or environments or VMs on the fly that you could even use for a few hours or a day or two and then turn it all off is really nice and really helps with productivity. You don't have to go through a process of trying to find an environment maybe to run some specific tests.
Yeah, like
find an environment, put out the specs, build it out, wait 3 weeks, find out it doesn't actually work properly.
Not longer, yeah. I mean, that's just it. Like, when we go to customers, I mean, that's one of the biggest things that is a aha moment for them, is the fact that they say, hey, you know what? We have to wait so long to provision an environment for various different reasons. Instead, now, you know, you can spin up like a SharePoint farm within like an hour and a half, do what you need to do, and then at the end of the day, you spin it down, and you're good to go, right?
So and the fact that I could spin up my own VM in Azure is a testament to how easy the process is.
I watched him do it. He did it. Yes.
I could do it. Yeah. I really can. So again, just really quickly going back to the Perl site curriculum, a couple of courses I wanted to highlight. If you have a Test Pro or just a straight Visual Studio Pro account with MSDN, you'll have access to some basic courses like VB.NET, some Visual Studio data tools, and also Visual Studio training sessions as well, which is really nice. So how to be more productive and proficient with the Visual Studio IDE itself. Moving into the higher level versions like premium or platforms, having access to our testing tools, for example, courses that show you how to be really efficient with our testing tools is a nice thing to have.
That's fantastic.
And with Ultimate, of course, it's geared towards some specific capabilities within Ultimate, like IntelliTrace. IntelliTrace is an advanced debugging capability that we have. There's a lot of strong capabilities in there that could really drive a lot of productivity, especially when you're debugging very difficult scenarios, especially things that sometimes don't throw out exceptions, your typical exceptions from a bugging perspective. We've got some courses available for you.
That's one actually, the IntelliTrace one is an interesting one for sure.
And of course, we've been very excited about Azure access through our MSDN credits.
For sure.
Here's a quick highlight of what you get. So if you have a premium or your platform's MSDN version, you get access to $100 a month.
That's US dollars per month, right?
Yeah, it's US dollars. So you get the equivalent of that per month. And so I'm sure your next question is, well, what does $100 a month get me at the end of the day? It gets you a lot, certainly. But some examples of what it can get you is you could essentially run roughly three smaller VMs for about 16 hours a day for the duration of the month. So it's nice knowing that you've got access to infrastructure when you need it. And of course, that's assuming it's running 16 hours a day,
which
is more than normal.
Happens,
yes. So you have the ability to maybe access some larger VMs for a shorter period of time, but there's a lot of nice capabilities that cost nothing, and it doesn't require you to insert any type of payment mechanism as well. So there's no concern about, well, what if I use up all my credits, then what? Well, the system simply stops working, or you could set it up so that you can add some dollars or credits back into it for that month or for the long term and continue to use it. So
makes sense.
Really, really nice service.
Actually, one question about that. So the $100 a month, so say for example I use $80 a month in a month. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that I get $120 the next month?
No, it starts fresh the next month.
Okay, so that's there's no rollover, but you start fresh every month, and it doesn't matter what you used the previous month. And also the fact that, say, for example, you go over, you don't lose a certain number of credits the next month. It's just strictly 100, 100, 100 if you're on the premium or...
Yeah, exactly. It starts over every month. And if you do happen to go over and you do decide to start paying into it because you want to continue to use it, you're getting access to MSDN-based pricing as well.
Okay.
Because it's understood that with MSDN, you're using Azure for non-production purposes, the charge rates are going to be lower than standard Azure, which you could use for production scenarios.
Okay, so that's interesting. So you even pay less for the resources than you would in a production environment anyways, even with it.
Exactly.
Okay,
so and those rates, go further. Yeah, and those rates are posted online at Visual Studio and Azure.com, so it's fully listed there. Yeah, absolutely. An additional item that's very important to note from an MSDN perspective is, as we talked about earlier, with MSDN you have the ability to basically provision the software in an unlimited manner on premises, and as long as you have an MSDN license, you have access to it. The nice thing is you have the ability to, for example, leverage Microsoft Azure, create an infrastructure in the cloud like a Windows environment, and then you could take your on-premises MSDN-based images and push them up into Azure and have that infrastructure basically hosted. So you have the ability to run MSDN-based software in Microsoft Azure as well.
That's great. So there's no incurred cost. That's just straight. It's an MSDN benefit.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
That's right. A couple of other things is you have access to our Windows Store, Microsoft Store, so the ability to set up developer accounts so that you could create mobile apps and so on and so forth.
Publish them to the store and everything.
And with all the recent changes too, this is to technically both stores, which are now one and the same.
Yes.
Right? But so you get the store access is for Windows modern apps and Windows Phone apps.
Yes.
Which is really cool if you think about it.
It is, and if I'm correct, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but once you've signed up for the Windows Store, for example, it's there. It's now yours in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have
lifetime.
To pay every... Yeah, it's a lifetime type of thing now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, once you've signed up for the benefit within your MSDN benefit, you don't have to sign up again. It's actually yours, mm-hmm. so you're good to go.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And even though, I'm just going to put it out there, even though from your organization's perspective, you may or may not actually be developing Windows apps. What's really cool about this is that it actually gives you the ability to try the whole process, build apps, whether you know you can decide based on your organizational policies or whatever what you use it for, but it actually gives you the ability to try out that whole process of not only just developing apps, even for fun or for testing or whatever, putting it in the store and seeing what that experience is like, certification, and so on and so forth. So treat it like a lot of everything else that you have, which is to give you that testing capability, but with real things so that you can actually see how the stuff actually works.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
All right?
Yeah. That we talked a little bit about support already, and I'm going to highlight a couple of small items around support. We see many developers leveraging our MSDN forums online to get support and do some searches. If you're using the MSDN support, which I highly recommend, make sure you're using your MSDN account so that when you're logging into MSDN, we could recognize you as an MSDN subscription holder, because if you do have any questions, you do have priority in the MSDN forums when you are an MSDN subscriber.
Yeah.
So just a small little detail that it's, make sure you're logging in with your MSDN credentials and you'll get better support.
It's really interesting because I've actually used the forums quite a bit. We just responded to an RFP, for example, and doing a lot of research for some of these things, and the forums were a godsend for me to actually answer some
absolutely.
Of these questions. Because, you know, some of these esoteric questions that you know you may have or some of your peers may give you and you don't have the answer to, you just go to the forums. Chances are somebody's actually run into that and answered that. So, it's a great
benefit. That's how you prep for our show.
Sometimes.
Uh-huh. You see? So, there's the magic. Here I was thinking, Paul, you know, has innately all of this knowledge in his head.
I do not.
Clearly, you go and you do your research, which is really cool. But point being is that the same research that we do, even for our own stuff, internal stuff or whatever, is the same research capability that you have through the forums and whatnot.
So yeah, that's really nice. Great knowledge base.
Yeah, for sure. And use it. Like I, like you, I didn't know that those forums existed for the longest time. More importantly, I thought those forums were just like people going on there and posting about their cats, you know. I had to say that just because apparently cats is the biggest thing now on the internet. But I didn't realize that the forums were as in-depth as they actually are. I thought it was just like high-level questions that people were asking. Oh. But we're talking about like real-life experiences here that people are saying. Granted, they're not sharing confidential information, but they're just like, this is how we solved it. And it's really cool people are actually sharing that.
Absolutely. We talked earlier about learning and Pluralsight.
Yep. Yeah.
Nothing has changed from the Microsoft Online learning as well that's available through MSDN. So that still exists.
Great.
We've simply added the Pluralsight training as an additional benefit.
So options.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice.
Lots of options. This is a high-level summary, but what's important here is if you go to visualstudio.com, compare, you'll be able to see all of the details that we just talked about over the past several minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get some details in there as well in terms of what features, what capabilities, and what benefits are available by subscription level that will help you with your buying subscriptions. So moving into, you know, what MSDN option is right for me, really it comes down to three options. We talked about Pro, we've talked about Premium, and the platforms. So let's start at one end with the platforms. Certainly what we find when we're talking to both individuals and with organizations, there's a lot of individuals that are managing these environments, provisioning environments, setting them up, so on and so forth. And they really don't have any requirements for the Visual Studio IDE or the tooling that comes with it. So MSDN platforms is a natural fit in terms of having the right capabilities to help them do their jobs and from an organizational perspective, also be compliant from a licensing perspective and having MSDN so that they have the ability to and the rights to access everything.
Very good.
At the other end is MSDN Pro, and this is really our entry-level suite of tools. And with this version, you have access to both Windows and SQL from a licensing perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So if your requirements are strictly around those two items, Windows and SQL, and you don't require anything else, then perhaps this is the version for you. The next question you'd ask yourself is, what tooling do my developers and testers need? If you require some very basic tooling from a developer perspective, then perhaps Visual Studio Pro is all that you need. From an enterprise perspective, we find most developers and testers need a more enterprise-grade IDE and suite of tools. Because when we're building these types of applications, we need to do a higher degree of testing, hopefully.
Yep.
And they're going through more of a process in terms of how they're building things, how they're testing things, and have basically how they're exercising their code as the application moves its way into production. So that's where the Visual Studio Premium really is the baseline and the preferred suite and IDE for most developers out there.
Okay.
And of course, it's paired with MSDN Premium, which gives you access to absolutely everything. So think of people doing SharePoint type development, more advanced .NET type development,
of course,
so on and so forth.
And the Premium and Pro are paired with Visual Studio, the integrated development environment, as part of the licensing. So you can't buy MSDN Premium on its own, for example, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Well, you could buy the platforms.
You can buy platforms, correct.
But you're getting no tools.
Yes.
So from an MSDN Premium with Visual Studio Premium, that is definitely the most common product set that our customers are using. And we also have a subset of users that use the Ultimate version. And when it comes to the Ultimate version, the real differentiator with Ultimate really is architects tend to like the use of Ultimate. Lead developers, senior developers, lead testers and QA and so forth.
Makes sense. Yep.
Would tend to use Ultimate. And the reason would be is from a couple of capabilities. Number one, load and perf testing.
Yes.
So Ultimate gives you the ability to do unlimited load and perf testing and stress testing on your applications.
Fantastic.
So it's a really nice benefit to have with an ultimate subscription. Mm-hmm. You also have access to IntelliTrace, which we talked about earlier, which is an advanced debugging capability that's part of it, and something you could use both in the development lifecycle as well as after the application goes into production, as you know.
Very cool.
And then there's, of course, some architecture tools that our architects would like, you know, some UML and type tools.
Yeah, we did an episode on that, on architecture, a little bit while back, and it's actually one of the most popular ones that we did.
Yeah. It's still, to this day, trending as the most, one of the most viewed, and it still goes into our theme of all the things that are there that you had no idea that are there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Right? So Absolutely. Many architecture tools Absolutely. That we went through, and people were just like, who knew?
Yeah. So when it comes to MSDN and you're thinking about MSDN from a corporate perspective, one of the things that we need to do is manage the assets, right? As an organization, and you know, potentially you're investing a fair amount of dollars into using MSDN as a licensing model because it makes the most sense for your organization. So being able to manage and administer these licenses is very important. So we have the Volume Licensing Service Center that helps you to basically manage and distribute these licenses and be able to assign them to individual users so that they could then create their unique IDs and have access to the benefits that they're entitled to. There is an MSDN Administrator's Guide that's available, and there's some videos available as well if you go to the Volume Licensing Service Center site.
Okay.
And then you basically drill down into the MSDN or subscriptions area of the site. So there's lots of information that will help you go through that. There's some resources and links that we'll share with you as well.
Yeah.
After the session, so we won't get into that. So in summary, what does MSDN truly mean to individuals and most importantly to organizations that are investing in them? Number one, when you look at the broad scope of licensing, MSDN offers really high value in terms of potentially giving you a lower TCO when it comes to licensing your environments. So being able to license your individual users that are basically creating some pretty extensive non-production environments.
Yep.
When we see most organizations for every production environment, it's not uncommon to see 3 to 5 non-production environments.
Yep.
So if you think of the alternative of licensing these 3 to 5 non-production environments with volume licensing, there's a big benefit or a big potential cost savings in going with MSDN and licensing individual users. It also potentially simplifies everything for you because, again, non-production environments could be very fluid in the nature of how you run projects.
Yeah, that's
right?
Actually a good point because, I mean, you put them up, you tear them down really quickly, you know, for various different reasons.
That's right.
It's a very good point. Yeah.
So licensing users and allowing them to be fluid with their environments and have access to unlimited environments is really simple from an asset management perspective. And of course, that gives you a lot of agility in terms of your ALM cycle, right? Being able to set up what you need when you need it and tear it down when you need to. And it allows your teams to have that ability to do it on their own. So not having to go through a lengthy procurement cycle when they need a new environment set up and I need to license that environment with more software, so on and so forth. So a lot of agility, you know, that the fluidity that you need in basically an ALM cycle.
That's very cool.
Now, for you're talking about provisioning all these environments and as you need them and so on, do these licenses also carry into if you were to set up these environments in Azure?
Yes, so we talked about that very briefly, and the nice thing is if you're setting up, say, infrastructure in Azure, say like a Windows environment.
That one's covered. A virtual machine environment.
That one's covered with Azure.
Right.
Then you could take your on-premises MSDN-based VM and push that up into Azure.
See, that's what I thought.
And you're covered.
You said, but it's one of those things where it really in the licensing world is one of those unknowns where you have the licenses already, so they work both on premise and in the cloud, back and forth as you need. We've had a couple of questions in the past where people were like, "Yeah, I don't know if I can install stuff in Azure," and it's just like, "Well, you can if you have your MSDN subscription. Yeah. You're good to go. It works either way."
Yeah.
And very important to know.
In fairness, it wasn't always that way,
right?
Right. So,
well, hence the question.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. So it's nice we have that ability and flexibility today.
For sure.
Again, we have some more links on subscriber benefits and all those things that we'll share with you after as well.
Very cool.
All right.
So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Wow, that was like a
Yeah.
Whirlwind. Right?
Whirlwind tour. Well,
but that's the beauty of it, is that now it's all nice, condensed, and then, you know, when you guys go through it, you have all of the, you have kind of like the breakdown, which I think for me was the hardest thing to get my mind around, because there's so many different parts of MSDN. Or the MSDN subscription. So now you have effectively the table of contents for if you need to know something specific about MSDN, or you need to share that someone with your organization or anything like that. If these guys have questions, you just want them, you just reach out to you and...
Absolutely. Feel free to contact us and we will help you over the phone, perhaps even do an on-site visit. We'll find the right way to help out.
Right. I was going to say, I'm like, that's... Remember, we have a global audience. Well, so I mean, what Marco meant to say,
we'll find was, the right people.
Exactly. Yes. We'll make sure to find
where you are in the world for sure.
Right. Yeah.
There's more than just Paul and I.
Yes, absolutely.
As not good
in
as
my,
Paul
not
is.
In my world.
Oh, there you
not
go.
Not in my world. There's only the two of you. But no, the truth is that actually you're going to see pop up in the conversation later the link to the eval for this particular session. One of the reasons why that's important is because one of the questions that's on there is, hey, do you want us to contact you in order for us to answer any questions you might have or anything like that? We can't contact you unless you tell us. So just putting it out there. Yeah. If you're interested, the only way that we know that you're interested is through that eval. You'll have the link pop up shortly, and we can go from there.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we're always available on Twitter. I don't know, Marco, are you on Twitter?
No.
I was going to say,
technical I am, people? So I can be your proxy to Marco that way.
Marco prefers snail mail.
No.
Or a call.
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. But if you do have those questions,
still in
please.
The Usta world, you know? Yeah, yeah. The old days.
All right, no more making fun of Marco.
You know, it's funny though, just getting back to the whole MSDN stuff. Like, I mean, everybody that knows anything about Visual Studio probably knew that MSDN existed, right?
Right.
And then if you did a poll of people that knew that MSDN existed, say, what is it? Most people will say, well, you can download software, right? It's funny.
See, I would have said, if you asked people what's MSDN, they would have just said it's where I go to look up all my API documentation and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, there's that too, actually.
That's right? Where things get complicated.
Yeah, it gets complicated, but like using the MSDN benefits over time, you know, like I can personally vouch for the fact that, you know, while it's great that I can actually download software and test stuff out using that software, that's not where I'm actually making the most use of it.
True.
It's the Azure benefits. Yep. It's the learning capabilities. It's the ability to go to Visual Studio Online and actually create team projects with multiple different people and everything. It's so much more than just a download. And I'm glad that we're able to bring this out because hopefully it enlightened a few people out there to see what is possible with MSDN and that there is a lot more value than just the fact that we're offering software for dev and test purposes. So, yeah.
Now let's compare. How many years have you had your MSDN license?
Well, with Microsoft, I've had it my
no,
entire
in total,
time.
In total, okay. In total.
Well, that would probably be?
Insert thinking music here. While he's thinking about it, I can tell you that I have had an MSDN license for the last 10 years consecutively.
I think I'm closer to 16.
I don't know how I would live without my MSDN license.
I'm closer to 16 myself.
You wouldn't.
And on that note, hey, Paul, enlighten us. What are we talking about next month?
We are going to talk about testing.
Nice.
Specifically, we'll talk about manual testing, so how you actually manage your ability to test your software projects, as well as, you know, how you can even go off the path of your test cases and talk about how you can explore your system and find bugs that you may not have noticed before. So,
AKA undocumented features.
They're bugs. They're bugs. But yeah, so we're going to talk about the manual testing capabilities that are included within Visual Studio Test Professional, Premium, mm-hmm. and Ultimate.
Nice. And so that's actually going to happen, funny enough, exactly on the same date, Friday the 20th of March.
Very
so
cool.
Make sure that Excellent. You tune in. Like I said, if you have questions on what we talked about today or you have any questions on past and future episodes, feel free to tweet at us, Jay Rosenblatt, Paul LaBerge, or actually...
LaBerge, actually.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I should have known that considering I say that every month. But anyway. Thinking about my MSDN subscription. Apparently. I'm sorry. Or better yet, actually tweet at CDN devs. That way, any one of us can get back to you, send you links, all that kind of stuff. Plus, also, as soon as this episode is available on demand and the links to the new one comes up, you'll know. If you're not the Twitter type, same thing on Facebook. Just search for Microsoft Developer, and you'll get it there. Or to simplify your life, I have it on the screen for you. So. I just feel the need to say it because it's cool.
Very cool.
So until then, until March the 20th, thanks for tuning in. We're going to stay on a bit longer. If you have any questions, just feel free to post them. Otherwise, thanks for joining us. And
stay
we'll see
warm.
You next month. Yeah, right.
It's very cold around here.
It is currently minus 30 outside?
Minus 37 or something like that with wind chill. Yeah. Celsius.
Celsius.
We're Canadian.
So we certainly are. And just in case you're wondering, based out of Toronto. So it's not minus 37 everywhere in the country.
Marco's from Ottawa, and apparently it's even colder there.
Yes.
Well, then welcome to the warmth.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.